Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, just to give you a brief outline of what to expect for this hour, inshallah, we commence our program this morning with Monday Morning Focus, the regular Monday slot, The Ideal Muslimah. And it is all about discussing a role model that every true Muslim believer, Muslim or believer, hopes to emulate, especially the women. Today we will be discussing a true Muslim woman keeps her promise, and also she is not a hypocrite. And all this information comes from the book The Ideal Muslimah. And there was a listener that wanted to know where to find this book. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you if there's any place available here in Johannesburg or in South Africa, but I know many people are gone for Hajj. So if you know of any family member that is, or you know, a friend or a family member that has gone for Hajj, perhaps you could ask them to, you know, check out the bookstores there and see if they can get you a copy of this book. It's called The Ideal Muslimah by Dr. Muhammad Ali Al-Hashimi. It's a wonderful book, and I think every home should have it. They do have another one also. It's called The Ideal Muslim. But for women out there, I think this book would be great, The Ideal Muslimah. If you want more information with regards to this book, you can give me a call perhaps after the program, and I will give you some more information with regards to that and where you got it. Because this is where I got it. One of my nieces went for Hajj, I think 2 years ago, and I asked her to bring the book for me, and alhamdulillah, she got it for me from there. So if anybody would like a copy of this book, I suggest they ask anybody out there going for Hajj or that are there in the kingdom right now to try and get a copy for them, alhamdulillah. That will be followed by Through the Eyes of a Child. We were hoping to speak to Maulana Muhammad Venkat today, but unfortunately he has just arrived in Makkah, and he has to take a group of Hujjaj on Zihara today, so unfortunately we cannot speak to him today, but hopefully next week. But we will go, we will continue with our program. And Through the Eyes of a Child, I want to discuss and share with you a few pertinent points in raising great children, inshallah. And if we do have time to conclude this wonderful program that we will be having today with some inspirational advice on how to face a problem. It's written by Abu Muhammad Yusuf from the E-Islam website. Well, let's start off with Monday Morning Focus. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the noble attitudes of the true Muslim woman is that she keeps her promises. Such an important point. We as Muslim women should always remember to keep our promises. Now, this attitude is the companion of truthfulness, and indeed stems naturally from it. A truthful person would always make sure that they do keep their promises no matter what. Keeping promises is a praiseworthy attitude, one that indicates the high level of civility attained by the woman who exhibits it. Alhamdulillah. It helps her to succeed in life, and it also earns her the love, respect and appreciation of others. A person that keeps their promise, you know, will always be, you know, known and always respected. They will always be appreciated by other people, and they will certainly be loved by that person. Alhamdulillah. The effects of this attitude in instilling moral and psychological virtues in our young girls and boys are not unknown. If they see their mothers always keeping their promises, this is the best example that can be given. So this is important for us, especially as parents and particularly as mothers. You know, our children learn by example. They learn by what they see, not sometimes but what we tell them only. For children to have these good qualities ingrained in them, then they need to see these good qualities in the people that are rearing them, and especially their parents. Alhamdulillah, in these parents, we have a great responsibility towards our children. For Muslim women, keeping promises is not just the matter of social niceties, something to boast about among our friends and our peers. It is one of the basic Islamic characteristics and one of the clearest indicators of sound faith and true Islam. Many texts of the Quran and the Sunnah emphasizes the importance of this quality. So keeping promises is not just for show. We need to do it. It's part of being a Muslim, part of being a believer. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 5, verse 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, O you who believe, fulfill all obligations. And also in chapter 17, verse 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fulfill every engagement, for every engagement will be inquired into on the day of reckoning. So if you have promised to do something, it becomes absolutely necessary for you to try and, you know, make sure that you fulfill this engagement or this promise that you have made. This is a definite command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His believing servants, men and women alike, to keep their promises and to fulfill whatever obligations those promises entail. So please remember, no matter what promise you make, if you promise to do something, then you need to make sure that you fulfill those obligations. It does not befit the Muslim who has committed himself or herself then to then try to get out of keeping the promise. It is his duty to keep his word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, chapter 16, verse 91, fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have entered into. And also very important for us to remember that if you make a promise, think about it. Don't just make empty and silly promises and wrong promises. Don't promise something that you are going to be sorry about. So when you decide to make a promise, make sure that you know what you are promising, and of course that it is something that is not against Islam or against your deen. Make sure about that. But when you do promise, then you need to fulfill that promise. Islam, this Quran ayat chapter 16 verse 91 says, fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have entered into it. Islam dislikes those prattlers who carelessly make promises without following through and keeping their word. Islam dislikes that, definitely. Again in the Quran, in chapter 61, verse 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, why say you that which you do not? Grievously odious is it in the sight of Allah that you say that which you do not. So don't make promises that you know that you will not be able to keep. You know, people are so in the habit of sometimes saying, I will, you know, a simple thing is, I will come and pick you up at this time. And the person waits and waits and waits and waits, and you just never pick up, and you don't even have the decency sometimes to pick up the phone and to say, unfortunately, I cannot make it. Can we perhaps make it for another day? You know, we need to, this is just a simple example, but there are people that make big promises and they do not keep those promises. Allah Ta'ala gets extremely unhappy and disappointed with people that do not keep their promises. If you give your word to somebody, you know, you should honor it no matter what. And also, I think what we also learn from here is, you know, as parents, it is important for us to teach our children, you know, not only teach them, but definitely to practice on what we preach. If we want our children to learn by our examples, then we need to preach. We need to do it as well. We need to take all the time to not only say, do these things and do that, and this is not right and that is not right, but in the end you end up doing the same things you tell your children not to do. Well, that's not the way things are. And if you want children to be truthful and to learn to keep their promises, then little promises that you make to your children, you need to make absolutely sure that you fulfill them. And you know, just little examples, and I think it's so important that we take cognizance of this, is when we, you know, little things to our little children, when we promise them that if you do this, if you behave nicely in when we are going somewhere, and if you do behave yourself, then I'm going to give you something. And your children behave, and then they expect that something from you, and you don't give it to them. What are we teaching our children? That it's okay to promise something, but it's also okay if you don't fulfill your promise. And you know, this is where it starts. We teach our children from a very young age about keeping promises, about truthfulness, about everything that's good. But when we promise our children, then we need to, fulfill our promises, no matter how small it is. If you promise your child that I'll give you a sweet, if you, you're perhaps trying to toilet train your child, and you tell them, if you go to toilet, and I'm going to give you the sweet, or I'm going to buy you a little toy. When they do it, it becomes obligatory on you to go out and go and either buy them that toy or give them that sweet that you promised. And that way you are teaching your child that if you make a promise, you need to fulfill that promise. So very important for us to start teaching our children from a very young age. And at the same time, we must make sure that we teach our children the right way and also fulfill our promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like his believing slaves, male or female, to sink to the level of empty words, promises made with no intention of fulfillment, and all manner of excuses to avoid upholding the commitments made. Yes, simple ones, if they do what those little ones have done what you have asked them to do, and then you keep on delaying, and I'll do it just now, and I'll give it to you just now, and I'll give it to you just now, and eventually the child forgets about it, and you forget about it. It doesn't work that way. You need to fulfill that little promise that you have made to that little child. Now, such conduct, and obviously, for any other promise that you make in life, such conduct does not befit believing men and women. The tone of the question that was asked in this ayat that I recited is an expression of the extreme disapproval incurred by those believers who commit the sin of saying that which they do not do. So next time you make any promise, no matter how little it is, even if it is to your little baby, then remember you need to fulfill it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he is entrusted with something, he betrays the trust. I'll read that over again. The signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it, and when he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. You know, people are so sometimes, there are many people out there that have this habit of jokingly telling lies all the time. You know, they call it white lies, but even a white lie is not good enough. We're not even allowed to give white lies. Of course, it's in extreme circumstances that you can lie to perhaps save a situation, a serious situation, that by telling a small lie, a white little lie, that you are going to save that particular situation, then maybe that is allowed. But definitely not jokingly and not seriously. So you're not allowed to lie at all. That's a sign of a hypocrite. And another one, of course, if you make a promise and you break that promise, and when you are entrusted with something and you you betray that trust of the person. According to a report given by Muslim, It is also added that even if he fasts, prays and thinks that he is a Muslim. So even if you do all these things, so even if you are fasting, even if you are praying all the time, and even if you are Muslim, you are still a hypocrite. If you are, you know, this will also, you will also be considered a hypocrite. That is when you speak a lie, when you make a promise and you break it, and when you are entrusted with something, obviously, and you betray the person's trust. The level of a woman's Islam is not determined only by acts of worship and rituals, but also the extent to which her character is influenced by the teachings and high values of Islam. She does only that which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Muslim women should be so careful of what we do, what we say, and how we do things. We need to remember at all times that our duty is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. The Muslim woman who understands and adheres to the teachings of Islam does not break a promise or cheat others or betray them, because such acts contradict the morals and the values of true Islam. And such attitudes are only found among men and women who are hypocrites. And we certainly don't want to be counted as a hypocrite. So we need to remember this. I'll share this with you again, and I think it's important for us to remember. The signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he's entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. Sometimes, you know, just to speak the truth, we sometimes feel scared to speak the truth because we think that we're going to be getting into big trouble. You know, you rather face that trouble because it is only then than for that person to later find out that what you have told them was a big lie. Can you imagine the consequences of that? If you speak the truth, it may be difficult. It may be difficult for you to speak the truth. You may have to go through quite a bit. But it is then and there, and the person will respect you for actually having said the truth. But if that person, you know, after many months perhaps finds out that this person has been telling me the biggest lie ever, can you imagine what the consequences would be then? So we need to be very careful. Sometimes it's difficult, but the truth prevails. Let them also know, those women who tell lies to their own children, who make promises and go back on their word, thus planting the seeds of dishonesty and promise-breaking in their children's hearts. Let them know this, those women who make empty, meaningless promises and attach no importance to the word of honor to which they have committed themselves, lest by such carelessness they become hypocrites themselves and earn the punishment of the hypocrites, which is, as we all know, is a place in the lowest level of Jahannam or hell. So please, as women, as Muslim women, our word should be our honor, inshallah. Well, we're going to take a break now, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to continue with our program. It's going to be through the eyes of a child, and today, inshallah, I'm going to be sharing with you, you know, some pertinent points in raising great children, inshallah. And thereafter, if we do have time, I want to share with you some, you know, inspirational advice and how to actually face a problem. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 27-4.com. 27-4 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
On the authority of Abi Sa'id ibn Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ said, man has no right to inflict harm on himself nor on others.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Venezia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Venezia Muslim School Annual Kurbani 2015. We provide the following: hygienic facilities, slaughtering, skinning and cleaning, storage and slicing facilities, viewing of sheep at Coogan's Farm from Saturday, 5th September 2015 onwards. All proceeds towards developing of the Venezia Muslim School. For bookings and info, contact Ibrahim Motala 082-757-5864, Abdul Samad Ismail 082-857-5560, or the Venezia Muslim School 011-857-1062 or 011-857-1221. Storage and slicing facilities will be provided at the Coogan's Farm.
It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the land of promise.
Radio Islam, making access to knowledge easy.
Radio Islam, calling to Islam, calling to success.
The future is now.
What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, and we are going to go through some very important points in raising great children, inshallah. This is in a slot through the eyes of a child. Children, as we know, are easily influenced by their surroundings. And these days, it is extremely difficult to expose our children to an ideal Islamic environment. Of course, given the influences from media, from friends, and even other members of the family. And I think sometimes that is one of the greatest problems that we have. Much as we try to bring our children up in an Islamic way, we are bombarded and we are criticized on how we are bringing up our children, perhaps in their eyes the wrong way. But if we know that we are bringing up our children, or at least trying to bring them up in an Islamic environment, it becomes very difficult for us, especially if we, in family circles, when we get bombarded with criticism all the time. Sometimes they accuse you of trying to bring your children up in the old-fashioned way. Especially if you're trying to bring your children up the right way, where you try to instill in your children those important things from a very young age, like we mentioned in the program earlier, where you want to instill the right things to in our children, especially where dressing is concerned, where, not watching television. I mean, It's very difficult as a family trying to instill those important values into our children at this age, because if we look at other families and if we look at other children, all children almost, not all, but most children are exposed to a television all the time. And here we're trying to teach our children, do not watch TV. At home we don't have a TV, so we don't watch it. It's easy to do it at home. But when you go out and you're visiting family and friends, they are then exposed to these things, and how do you keep those little children away from there? And then you have perhaps family members that feel, how can you do that to your child? You don't allow them to watch TV when all the other children are watching TV. You don't allow your children to dress up smartly. You want them to wear a scarf and you want them to wear a little burqa when all the other children, all the other cousins are not dressed that way. So it becomes such a problem. It's such a difficult situation. But as parents, you need to be so firm and so determined to bring your children. You as a parent, you want to be determined to bring your child up. but you have so many external forces all the time bombarding you with criticism all the time. So it really does become a very, very challenging, thing to do, to bring up your child or your children in an Islamic environment, or, you know, bringing them up Islamically. Of course, with television, radio, internet and forms of media mostly touting un-Islamic values, it is up to parents and adults close to the children to set the correct example. It's important, you know, if you see, even if you are not doing it, but if you see, for example, your daughter-in-law and your son trying to bring up their children in the Islamic way, the right way, then encourage your children. Don't discourage them. Don't criticize them for bringing up. It's not an easy job. They want to do the right thing, and you know it's the right thing. So please encourage your children and help them along. If you have little grandchildren that come home and you know they are not exposed to TV at home, you know, they are dressed appropriately like little Muslim children should be dressed, then don't, you know, laugh at them and make them feel bad about it, because that's not the right thing to do. You as grandparents and you as family members, or friends for that matter, should actually encourage them. And it's right, you know, you need to even tell your own children that what they are doing is right, what we are doing is wrong. So please be careful. Well, yes, it is impossible to shield our children from all the negative forces that can shape their minds and ultimately their behavior, but that would not stop us, that should not stop us from trying our best. However, by our own example and showing them better options, we can set them on the true path, which is to obey the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, just a few tips that I want to share with you, and I found this a wonderful little article, and I'd like to share this with you. It's from the Islam Info website, and this is what it says. There's a few points that I want to share with you, and I'm sure it will be of assistance to you. Number one is, you start by teaching them the importance of worshipping only Allah. The best thing any Muslim parent could ever teach their children is to emphasize from the day that they can comprehend that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fundamental message of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is our key to paradise. So I think it's important for parents, young parents, you know, when you do decide to have children, then you need to remember that you need to start. If you're not aware of these things, then please start reading about it. Make yourself aware of what you need to teach your children, how important it is to teach them the importance of worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the very first point. Then the second one is, you need to treat them kindly. Kindly begets kindness. This is important because sometimes, you know, we get so aggravated by our children. They are little children. They are learning, you know, their whole life when they are just born. They don't know anything. It's what we teach them and what they see, and, you know, they just learn all the time. Their little brains are like sponges. They absorb everything around them. So we as parents need to treat them kindly, screaming at them and shouting them and whacking them and smacking them. That is not how we're supposed to treat our little children. If we are kind to our children, they in turn will show kindness to others. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best example of being kind to children. And, you know, we need to learn this. You know, there are many parents that get so angry because we have so many other things to do. We have so many chores that we need to complete that we don't have time for our little children. No, you know, and then when they do start troubling us and nagging us for attention, what is our reaction? We start shouting at them. You know, you're busy and you can't see to them. I'll see to you later. A little child doesn't understand what it means to do things later. If they want your attention now, they want it now. So what you should as a parent do is stop for a minute and give your child the attention that they need. Because they won't be pulling at your dress or pulling at your scarf or pulling at your skirt or screaming at you if they didn't want that attention from you. It's because they need attention and they probably want to find out something from you. So please stop for a minute, look at your child and come down to your child's level and ask the child what it is that they want. Just that few minutes will save you so much of hassle. So, and yes, very important for them to treat them very kindly, because what happens if sometimes we as parents cannot understand why our children are being so rude to us, but we forget that we were being rude to them. That's why they are being rude to us now. Then the third point is to give them examples of Muslim heroes. Instead of this Batman and Superman, tell them about real heroes such as Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali radiallahu anhu and others. Tell them how Muslim leaders brought a real peaceful change in the world and won the hearts of Muslims and non-Muslims alike. So read to them about read to them Islamic stories, read to them about Muslim heroes. Go out there and read, explain to them, instead of all these things that they watch on TV all the time and, you know, all these comics that they read. Try and instill in them, you know, Islamic knowledge from a very young age. You know, there's always this thing where they say little children must be seen and not heard. Well, let children sit with adults. It's important for us to let our little ones sit with us. It is preferable for children to be among adults, especially when listening to Islamic lectures. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often put children in the front row when he spoke to people. So, because a child may become a little fidgety and edgy and, you know, irritating, doesn't mean that we shouldn't have our children there with us listening to Islamic lectures or when people are talking about Deen. We need to have our children around us too. We can't just always send them away to go and play. You know, when there's adults talking, we don't need little children around. Yes, fine, when they are really troubling then, and something very important is being discussed, yes, in that case, do, you know, find something alternative for the children to do. But when there's important knowledge going, like if you're having a little bayan going on in the house, you know, invite your children to sit there and listen to, at least let them listen as much as they can. If they really then become troublesome, then you can. But it's important to slowly get them used to the idea of also listening when important talks are being, you know, when there are important talks about Islam happening in your home or wherever. So the next point is how, you know, it's so important for us to make them feel important. Consult them in family matters. Okay, when they're very young, we can understand. But as they grow up, it's important for them to make them feel part of the family. Let them, you know, consult them. Talk to them about important issues. Let them feel they are important members of the family and have a part to play in the growth and the well-being of the family. Communication with our children is so important, you know, all the time. We need to speak to them all the time. We need to have them around us all the time. We need to make them understand that they are important members of the family, so that they need to be consulted when some important decisions are taken. So, obviously, they need to be part of it, and this will make them feel important too. another very important thing is to go out as a family. You know, these days we often find our teenagers deciding when mom and dad are going anywhere, no, we're not going with you because you're going to this. We don't want this color. But they don't even. I know this is what they think. We're not going to be visiting one house to the other house. But it's important to take family trips rather than allowing your children to always go out with their friends or on their own. Let your children be around family and friends from whom you want them to pick up their values. That is very important. Sometimes you are in a home that isn't, you know, the best place for your children to be. You know, sometimes you're in an abusive relationship. But it's important, sometimes it's abuse. Abuse is in many forms. Maybe it's a person that's continuously verbally abusing you, or sometimes even physically abusing you. But it's important for you then, as a parent, to make sure to let your children visit family and friends, especially close family members that cares about your children. Let them visit them and see that, you know, this is not the only kind of relationships that we have in our home. There are other kinds of relationships, better relationships too. And that way, you know, children can then pick up good habits as well from other families if they cannot pick it up in their own homes. This is just something that I've noticed over the years, that it is important for you. You know, you have uncles, you have aunties, you have Carlas, you have Mamajis. Send your children to them, especially if you know that sometimes in your own home you don't have the ideal situation. Send them to them so that they can see that, you know, there are other ways of living too. This is not the only way. This bad ways that you see around you is not the only way. Always remember that your children will become who they are around with most of the time. So watch their company, and above all, give them your company. I think that is so important. It is so important for you to be there for your children at all times. So they need your company all the time. Praise them is another important point. Praise is a powerful tool with children, especially in front of others. Children feel a sense of pride when their parents praise them and will be keen to perform other good deeds. However, praise must be limited to Islamic deeds and deeds of moral value. It's important, you know, when your child does do something good, to acknowledge it, to praise them, and to let them feel important and feel good about what good they have done. Then avoid humiliation. Similarly, to not humiliate them in front of others. Children make mistakes sometimes, but these mistakes occur in their efforts to please their parents. If you are unhappy with your child, tell them in private. Sometimes, you know, they may be doing something wrong. Don't, you know, scold them and shout at them in front of people. You know, they too have feelings and they will feel hurt. So please, you know, tell them quietly that, you know, what you have done is not the right way, or explain to them nicely. Because sometimes, like they say, they do something to please you, and unfortunately, it's not the right way. It's a mistake that they have made. But they genuinely wanted to do something that was good and wanted something to please you as parents. And unfortunately, it's not the right thing. So don't just shout at them and scream at them and, you know, get angry at them on the spur of the moment. I know we tend to sometimes not think, and as parents, we just on the spur of the moment say whatever we want to say, but we don't realize that we sometimes really hurt our children, and they genuinely were trying to do something good for you. So be careful. Don't humiliate your children in front of others. Always think about it and talk to them in a nice, quiet, on their own, so that they can understand. Then sports is also very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged sports such as swimming, running, horse riding, etc. Other sports that build character and physical strength are also recommended, as long as the children maintain their Islamic identity, wear appropriate clothes, and do not engage in unnecessary mixing. So this also is important. Sports is important, but like I said, please maintain Islam. Make sure that your children maintain their Islamic identity, wear appropriate clothing, and do not engage in unnecessary mixing. Then responsibility is also something very important for us to teach our children. And we as parents should have some faith in their abilities to perform tasks. Give them chores to do in line with their age. Convince them that they are performing an important function, and you will find them eager to help you out again. So teach them responsibility. It's an important task. As Muslim parents, we need to teach our children this. What we sometimes tend to do is to spoil our children, but we don't really need to do that. We must not spoil our children. Children are easily spoiled. If they receive everything they ask for, they will expect you to oblige on every occasion. Be wise in what you buy for them. Avoid extravagance and unnecessary luxuries. Take them to an orphanage or to a poor area of your city once in a while so that they can see how privileged they are, and, you know, so that they can appreciate what they have and what others don't have. So, you know, it's important for us not to spoil our children. I know sometimes we tend to want to give our children that we did not have, but we need to think twice before we do this. And a very important point is, don't just be friends. It is common in the West for parents to consider their children as friends in Islam, as their friends. You know, we always think our children must be our friends, or we must be our children's friends. But in Islam, it doesn't work that way. If you have ever heard how friends talk to each other, then you will know that this is not how a parent-child relationship should be. So respect is very important. If you look at friends, how do we as friends talk to each other? Sometimes there isn't much respect. Just listen to youngsters talking to each other, to their friends. That's not how a parent and a child should be communicating with each other. You are the parents, and they should respect you, and this is what you should be teaching them. They need to know, you know, you need to respect your parents at all times. The friendship part should be limited to you and them, keeping an open dialogue so that they can share their concerns with you and ask you questions when they have any. Very important. Respect plays a very important here. So, you know, if you want to talk to your child, alhamdulillah, you are open to talk to your child, but it should always be respect. Your child should speak to you with respect, and as a parent, you should speak to your child with respect too. So remember that at all times. Pray with them. Another point, involve them in acts of worship. When they are young, let them see you in salah. Soon they would be trying to imitate you. Alhamdulillah, that happens so often. Wake them up for fajr and pray as a family. Talk to them about the rewards of salah so that it doesn't your children don't feel as salah as a burden on you. So, you know, this is something that they need to grow up with. This is part of who I am. Salah is part of me. So from a young age, very, very young, in fact, your little children, your babies would be imitating you. So when you perform your salah, this is part of our life. This is part of our life. We need to perform salah. There's no getting away with it. It's not a big burden. This is what a Muslim should be doing all the time. So this is what we need to teach our children, to pray with us. Reading the Quran should be part of our life. Reading salah is part of our life. Giving charity is part of our life. All these important things should be taught to our children, and we can do, if we do it together as a family, it will not become a burden on our children. And the 14th point that is in emphasize the permissible. It is not always good to only say this is haram and that is haram. While you must educate them on what are haram things, Islam is full of halal. Tell your children to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the bounties He has bestowed on them, not just for food and clothes. Tell them to be thankful for having eyes that we can see with, for our ears that we can hear with, our arms and our legs that we can walk with. The ultimate blessing, Islam in their hearts. Important to be grateful for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything in our lives. And the last point is to set an example, and I did mention it earlier in the program that I did. As parents, you are the best example children can have. If you talk to your parents rudely, expect your children to do the same to you. If you are disrespectful to others, your children will follow too. Islam is filled with divine advice on the best ways to bring up your children. That makes it an obligation upon parents to be good Muslims to their children, so that their children will try to emulate them. If you don't take Islam seriously, neither will your children. It goes back to our third point, which is to give them Islamic heroes. And as a parent, you should be their number one hero. Alhamdulillah. So, very important and very pertinent points. I hope it has benefited you, inshallah. When we come back, unfortunately, I would have loved to have shared something very important to you. Maybe I could, if we have time. I'm going to check with our engineer. If we have a few minutes, maybe just 2-3 minutes, I would like to just read this out to you. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
People everywhere feel hunger, but for some, hunger is felt every day and night. The Al Imdad Foundation brings you a new, smart and sustainable canned kurbani program. With only 1,700 rand per sheep, we will slaughter, can and distribute your kurbani to the most needy Syrian people for whom hunger has become a way of life. All you have to do is donate. The rest will be taken care of. Our cut-off date for kurbani is the 18th of September 2015. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
Salinasia Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic Fertini education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawabi Jariyah for you. Salinasia Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawabi Jariyah by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Mujesa and Masjid.
Sharma Spice World, Sana Super Colonel Logia Basmati rice 5 kg 99.90, pan oil 5 liter 74 rand, Shan assorted masala 6 pack of the same variant 60 rand, Sharma dishwashing liquid 5 liter 21 rand, Noor Jahan basmati rice 5 kg 99 rand, Kubeg beans 410 grams 3 for 22.50, 5 roses 200 tea bags 48 rand, fruit tree juices 1 litre 12 rand. Contact us on 011-852-5568 or visit us at 50 Gemsbok Street Extension 2, Lenasia.
Radio Islam, your favorite learning station.
أنتم تستمعون إلى إذاعة الإسلام.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To end our program with today, an inspirational advice. As humans, we are prone to stress, although we all wish to be immune from it. While stress may be beneficial at times, however, the excess of it will certainly affect our health and our productivity. In controlling stress, our mindset is so important. There was once a very old sheikh who noticed his student very depressed. The wise scholar instructed the unhappy young man to put a handful of salt in a glass of water and then told him, drink it. And he asked him, how does it taste? The student said, awful. The sheikh then chuckled and then asked this young man to take another handful of salt and put it in the lake. The two walked in silence to the nearby lake, and when the student swirled his handful of salt into the lake, the wise old man said, "Now drink from the lake." As the water dripped down the young man's chin, the sheikh said, "How does it taste?" Well, the student said, "Good." "Do you taste the salt?" asked the sheikh. "No," said the young man. The sheikh sat beside this troubled young man, took his hand, and he said, "The pain of life is pure salt, no more, no less. The amount of pain in life remains the same, exactly the same. But the amount we taste, that is, the pain, depends on the container we put into it. So when you are in pain, the only thing you can do is to take it out of your cup and place it in Allah's lake, in Allah Ta'ala's lake." No doubt, what practical measures or actions that are needed in the situation must be taken, but we should then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ultimately in control of everything. So always be positive and forget about the bad things or events of the past and think of good things, always having hope that it can be better. Trying to change the past is a foolish and a crazy waste of time, for saying, "If only," opens the way to shaitan, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Know that victory or achievement comes through patience, and that ease comes through hardship. None can destroy iron but its own rust. Likewise, none can destroy a person but his or her own mindset." Ups and downs in life are very important to keep us going. A straight line, even in an ECG, means we are not alive. The same boiling water that hardens the egg will soften the potato. It all depends upon our reaction to stressful circumstances. Allah the Most High said, "And in Allah alone should the believers trust." So the next time you face a problem, don't dissolve it in your small cup of water, but cast it into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lake. Well, listeners, something to think about. With that, we come to the end of this program. Inshallah, until next week then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.